Hi, everyone. Happy Intersex Awareness Day. This is Hita Valoria at the Intersex Campaign for Equality, and I'm so excited to be broadcasting our first podcast for Intersex Awareness Day, Intersex Gets Legit, a conversation with Sarah Kelly Keenan, the pioneering intersex advocate who was the first non-binary Californian and also the first person to receive a intersex birth certificate in the United States. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great, Hita. How are you?
I'm really well, too. And I just have to say it's an honor to have you on. You know, I am a big talker, and I have been talking about being non-binary for ages. And then here you come along and you just do this very, very important thing, which is you took the step to really make being intersex a legally recognized identity in the United States. And so thank you. That I think that, you know, that's such a perfect topic for Intersex Awareness Day today. And I want to ask you, well, before I jump in with the questions, just for our listeners, I want to clarify a couple of things since it's Intersex Awareness Day. I'll just share that being intersex, as you probably know, refers to people who are born with bodies that are not typically male or female. And there's an estimated 30 or 40 different types of intersex, which means that intersex people can look very male, very female, or anywhere in between. And we can have a variation of chromosomes, gonads, and genitals, and hormones. And so we really consist of a spectrum of sex. We demonstrate that there's a spectrum of biological sex. And the only thing we really have in common is that we're not typically male or female. And I think that's, you know, perhaps some new information for folks, but also something that, you know, we've all kind of been aware of subconsciously throughout the years because of our old, you know, our ancient history. We've been here since the beginning of time. And you know, we were called hermaphrodites in old Western society, named after the beautiful Greek god / S, Hermaphroditus. And we've always been around. And so, yeah, so with that said, since there are so many types of intersex and we're all so different, Sarah, would you mind sharing just a little bit about what makes you intersex?
I sure would, Hita. And you put that umbrella description perfectly. I don't like the medicalization of our bodies and the terms that are used, but they're the only terms we have. And I was diagnosed or identified to have Swyer syndrome, also called pure XY gonadal dysgenesis, which means I'm genetically XY, but because of a mutation of the SRY gene, I did not develop in the expected way and was born with mixed reproductive anatomy.
Wow, that is fascinating. And what I think that all the intersex variations are beautiful. And what I like you don't really like, you know, stay framing us in a medicalized way. But at the same time, thanks for sharing, because I think it's so important for people to understand that this is a real biological reality. You know, so often I hear people say things like, these people are crazy. There's just male and female. There's just XX for women and XY for men. And everyone else just has some kind of mental confusion. And, you know, by your sharing this in medical terms, it really illustrates that this is a physical reality. Humans are born male, female, and intersex. There is not there are not only male or female bodies. There are beautiful variations all along the spectrum. And just in case some listeners are confused, when you were born, are you aware of why you were assigned female Given your differences, because in my case, for example, that's a question I often get. Like, well, if you are intersex and you're not male or female, why did they choose female for you, in your original assignment? And so in my case, it's because although I was born with a genital variance, genitals that look different from typical boys or girls, I also had other parts, female parts, as in a vajayjay, etc., that, made them kind of think, okay, this baby is more female than male, so we'll assign her female. Was that similar to what happened in your case? Do you know?
I think so, but I'll never really know for sure because I was given up for adoption as an infant. And I know from what few medical records I have from my birth in 1961 that my first medical record indicates male. And 3 weeks later, I left the hospital with a female birth certificate and went to an orphanage.
Wow.
And 5 months later, my adoptive parents adopted their baby girl.
Well, and see, these are the stories that we hear a lot from intersex people that, basically doctors, parents, and others are struggling because they're trying to squeeze us into the male or female, binary, and when we're actually something else. And so, with that said, I would like to jump into what's happened, like what's happening around discovering that we're intersex. For me, I didn't discover that I was intersex, with that word to label what I am until I was about 26. How about you? Were you, how old were you when you learned that you're intersex after being raised as a girl and living as a girl?
I was 48 years old, and it was 2009. And I did an internet research, an internet search, because I got curious. And the only term that had been given to me growing up was gonadal dysgenesis. And I Googled that term and found that it was a type of intersex. And I found the particular type of gonadal dysgenesis that results in someone being very tall. And I knew that was part of my medical story, that I'd had to begin hormone replacement therapy at 16 to simulate puberty and stop a growth spurt that would have continued out of control. And I was already, at the age of 16, I was over 6 feet tall. So when I did this internet research in 2009 and Googled intersex and tall, up popped Swyer syndrome. And I went to a local endocrinologist and asked them to confirm it. And they ran a test that did confirm it. So I was 48 years old, waking up to the reality that I had been lied to all of my life.
I can't, I think I wasn't aware or I forgot that it's that recently that you found out that you're intersex. That is amazing. And I want people to really take that in because, there's often this conception of that we're really rare. And I think part of that is because so many of us don't even know that we're intersex because doctors and other stakeholders basically try to hide it from us, right? To push us into believing that we're typically male or female. And so we don't even know ourselves. So how is the world going to know that we don't know? And let me ask you, I think honestly, I want to commend you for adjusting to this information so quickly and bravely and beautifully. Because that's not a long turnaround from learning that you're intersex and then deciding I'm going to apply for legal status as a non-binary person. So, Do you want to share a little bit about what that journey was like? Were you shocked when you learned this, for example, or had you kind of always suspected, you'd known that you were different? Had you suspected that your difference was along gender lines?
Yeah, I knew that I was different, even as a small child. I knew that I wasn't a boy and that I wasn't a girl. And I wasn't comfortable hanging out with groups of boys doing the things that boys usually like to do, although I was more comfortable with them than I was with girls. But I definitely was not comfortable having friends who were girls and doing things that girls like to do. But there was no word for me. There was no word. I was too small at age 3 or 4 to have words like outcast. But if I'd had a word, it would have been gender outcast. I'm not from this planet.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet you were able to grow up and live a happy life, as far as I can tell. You've got a great temperament and a great self-esteem, and you're very strong. So I think that speaks to the fact that, people can be different and still be okay, right? Unlike what people, a lot of mainstream society tries to make everyone fit into these normal boxes.
That's true. That's true. My spouse of 30 years likes to call me the accidental ad activist
Ha 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 ha, that's great. I
because
love
I
it.
didn't go looking for this. It was like this dark secret that was covered up for 48 years was suddenly exposed to the light of air, and it wasn't anything that needed to be a secret, not from me and not from anybody else. And it just made me mad as hell and needing to change it societally for future generations in, the period of time that I have left in my life. So it just turned me into a mad as hell accidental activist.
I love that, Sarah. And I love that you used your anger to achieve such a positive thing for generations to come. I think that's a great example of what we can do with our difficult emotions. And I often talk about how, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to have emotions that are deemed negative. We all have the light and the shadow, and being, kumbaya all the time isn't natural, And so it's okay to feel those emotions, and we can transform them into something beautiful and positive, and you have, and we're all very grateful. And I'm curious too, as the anger, because that I think so many of us have gone through that anger when we just realize. Mine came when I realized that IGM, and for the public, that's what a lot of us activists call intersex genital mutilation, the non-consensual surgeries that Sarah, unfortunately, and so many of us, unfortunately, have undergone as children. When I learned of IGM, I was just shocked and sad, and then livid for ages, and that motivated me as well to become an activist. And once that feeling started to pass, though, did you feel on a personal level that learning that your intersex answered any questions you'd had about yourself, or helped your sense of self or your self-esteem in any way?
Yeah, it allowed me to really accept myself and stop trying to fit into society's box, And for the first 48 years of my life, I tried as best I could to conform to the role that society and family expected of me so that I would get love and validation and have a place in the human family. And there didn't seem to be a choice. It seemed like that was what I had to do to live in this world. But that's different now. And I'm glad to see that changing. And I intentionally live a gender variant life, and I push the envelope. You know, I will use even in places that do not have a gender neutral bathroom, I will use whatever damn bathroom I please. And I challenge someone to ask me why I'm there.
I love it.
You know, and if I mean, I was in a park in downtown San Francisco a couple of weeks ago, and there was a line of 20 people waiting to get into the women's bathroom, and there was no line at the men's bathroom. So I marched right in the door, walked right by a bunch of guys standing at the urinals doing what they were doing, and walked right into a stall, peed, came out, washed my hands, and left. And I figure that needs to be normal in order for future intersex children to feel comfortable in this world, because we are neither and we are both. And, you know, this binary separation catches us in a snare net. You know, we're ensnared by society's ignorance. And I mean, that's just gotta stop. And, you know, with the 30 or so years I have left, if I'm lucky, I just have to do everything I can. I feel like I'm a late comer to the party. You know, when I first found out at 48 that I was intersex and did my online research, I read about you, I read about other activists, and I just got into the fast lane of advocacy because I feel like I don't have that much time to be impactful and to make it a better world. And it just turned me into someone hell-bent to create change, regardless of my own personal discomfort at discussing it. It has to be more important than me. And I have to discuss it, and I have to, you know, testify before government bodies, and I have to change it, even though it would be more comfortable for me to not. It's got to change. And if not me, who? And I know, you know, you with your advocacy, I imagine you feel the same way. If not me, who?
That's exactly how I felt, you know, and for me, with the situation of not having been subjected to these surgeries, I felt that it was so important for me to speak, because what doctors I've heard over and over again say is like, well, you're telling us to stop these surgeries, but what will happen if we just leave these people as they are? They'll kill themselves. And I just constantly was infuriated, thinking, bullshit. Do you realize how much easier it has been for me because I was allowed to just grow up as I am and not go through this trauma and these lies and all of this crap, frankly, like around being told that you're not, your body is wrong, you know, and who you are is wrong. And I felt so compelled to speak out and say, actually, I love my body and the way and the fact that I was left this way. And I'm really encouraging others. If you are out there, folks, and you are also left alone and you are living in a beautiful, intact intersex body, please reach out to us at Intersex Campaign for Equality or to me personally at Heat of Aluria, .com or on Twitter or Facebook at Heat of Aluria, to share your story, because, you know, doctors need to hear those stories too. And Sarah, I just couldn't be more impressed with your humanitarian dedication. What a true activist to say, and I know the discomfort of speaking publicly about this, to say, you know, as much as it would be much easier to live my life and continue living my life, you know, you have a happy life, you have a long, long-term partnership. There was no reason for you to take the steps that you did, and that yet you did to help others in the future. And so, you know, thank you again for that. I think that that is the meaning of activism and intersex activism. And that kind of leads me into my next question, which was, do you remember the moment that you decided that you were going to take this on and apply for a gender change to non-binary, you know, and submit your medical evidence that proves that you are not male or female, to and get a state court to verify that? Can do you remember that moment?
Well, I do. And it was in June of last year. And it was after reading about Jamie Shoup in Oregon going to court and being declared non-binary. And I thought that should happen in California too. If it could happen in Oregon, there was no reason that it couldn't happen in California. And I believe those of us who live in states that are more open to accepting reality and releasing societal roles have an obligation in those states. You know, as marriage equality activists did, first they changed the law in the states that were willing, and then the parts of the nation that wanted to continue to repress the rights of certain citizens were dragged along into the future.
Yep.
And those of us who are in progressive states that will acknowledge reality and will protect a civil right that they're only just now learning is being violated, we have an obligation in those states to bring that change to the state level so that eventually it'll come to the national level. But yeah, Jamie Shoup did it in Oregon, and that inspired me. And I got started on my legal briefs that week, and it took me about 6 weeks to get everything prepared because I'm a retired paralegal and I know how to write a legal brief. And I wrote an ironclad civil rights violation legal brief with medical documentation that no judge could, with any rational basis, deny.
Yes. I love it. I love it. And what a beautiful, set of circumstances that you happen to be a retired paralegal and you happen to see what happened with Jamie Shoup. Thank you, Jamie. Wonderful non-binary activist and well, perhaps an accidental activist as well, I think, from my conversations with Jamie in Oregon. And thank you for doing that. And and Jamie also, I know, was inspired by Dana Zim, our associate director at Intersex Campaign for Equality, who in 2015, on Intersex Awareness Day, launched a lawsuit for a non-binary passport. So it's all this beautiful cycle of inspiration. We all just keep inspiring each other. And for the younger people out there listening, just know that li little things you do can really inspire positive world change because everything ripples out, from the first person who spoke about being intersex. I think the first person was someone named Toby, who I saw in the 80s. On the Phil Donahue show, and they were talking about being na neither male nor female, but intersex, and they also had a non-binary identity. And unfortunately, I don't know where Toby is now. Toby, if you're out there, please reach out. But that set off a little light bulb in myself as well, so that when I learn that I too am intersex, like that I, kind of qualify to be intersex. It was like, yeah, that person was awesome, and we can speak about this, and it just keeps, inspiring people. And so, yeah, that's just a beautiful turn of events. And the other thing I want to say about that is that, for many years, and I fall into this camp as well, it just, I think, didn't seem possible to have this legal verification and acknowledgement of who we are. It seemed like we needed to first kind of educate the world that we even exist. And yet, as time moved on, I began to realize that if we don't legally exist, then all of this discrimination can happen without even being contested. And so I think, that's why I supported Dana in seeking a non-binary passport. And helped educate Lambda Legal around that and the need for that. And I wonder, did you feel that this was an important step for intersex genital mutilation to end? Like, did you see a connection between your going to the court and getting legal acknowledgement and intersex genital mutilations stopping?
Yeah, for me, it's a part of the societal education process because we can't stop the surgeries until people understand that biological sex is a spectrum and gender is a spectrum. Gender identification is a spectrum, and they're two different things, you know, and we need to educate people about that in order for them to understand that there is this horrible civil rights violation occurring against children and babies. But they need to understand first that biological sex and gender identification both occur along spectrums, and that it's all beautiful, and that there's no need to cover any of it up, you know, and to bust the binary, I thought was the first step that I, as someone with some legal skills, could do to spread the societal conversation about the spectrums.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's why I was really thrilled when I saw that you'd done this, you know, and I was thinking, God, why didn't I think of that? And yet, you know, we all bring different things to the table. And so thank goodness for your initiative and your vision and your legal skills and all of it coming together. And I also want to say, since you mentioned, you know, sex and gender and the fact that there's a difference, one thing that I love about the fact that you are the person who did this in California is that you are a living demonstration around the difference between sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. Because, you know, many people might imagine that someone who is legally, you know, a third sex, essentially, and a third gender, is non-binary, would not be using a she pronoun and would not be in a heterosexual marriage with a man, right? And what is, you know, viewed and legally viewed as a, well, no longer legally viewed, right? But originally viewed as a heterosexual marriage with a man, you know, they would imagine that it had to be a person who, you know, used they, them, or Z pronouns and, you know, was queer by some definition. And yet here you are demonstrating that my sex is intersex. My gender identity is non-binary. However, I still like the she pronoun. And I am married to a man, as someone who grew up as a female. And you know, and we met as a, you know, with me living as a female. And so it just shows, you know, your very existence really shows the complexity of all these issues, right? And the beautiful nuance that we can be anything we are, regardless of what bodies we're born with.
It's true.
Yeah.
And I like to say to people, you know, when they question me about my gender, my sexual identity, my pronouns, I like to say to them, I'm so sorry that you were raised in a society that propagated a myth. And I have great compassion for you being, you know, to people who, you know, say there's only XX and XY and there's only men or women. I have great compassion for those people because they have believed a lie. You know, and so slowly they're coming to accept reality.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, and having the compassion is beautiful. I've been developing more of that myself after a lot of years as kind of a young, frustrated activist. Like, when are people going to get it? It's so simple. Now I just really realize, yeah, that it's a myth. I mean, even I had bought the myth myself for many years growing up, right? Even I sometimes still fall into using binary language just because that's what we've been taught. And it really takes practice, I think, to begin to use correct language that acknowledges the reality, as you put it. I love that. I love that. And I encourage everyone to, you know, be compassionate with people who don't get it yet and just help spread understanding. And with that, you know, kind of awareness or tone, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that you're most excited about right now in the movement, in the intersex movement, or for intersex people in general?
Well, I'm really excited that there's beginning to be a societal recognition that we exist and that we have a right to our intact bodies. There's an awakening happening, and I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited that here in California, one of the state senators who sponsored SB 179, which was signed into law last week by Governor Brown, creating the legal third gender statewide. I'm really happy that that state senator is considering bringing legislation next year to end unnecessary, medically unnecessary surgeries, cosmetic surgeries on the genitals of intersex babies and children. I'm so glad that that's happening.
Yes. That's amazing. And it's beautiful.
There's just so much hope, you know, and at a time when things look dark federally, wonderful flowers are blooming in the progressive states, and the germination will spread. As with marriage equality, the germination will spread nationally. It's just a matter of time. I'm thoroughly optimistic about that.
Me too. And I love it that you are. And I think that, you know, that's what I encourage everyone to be. You know, so many people have gotten scared and, you know, negative under the federal administration, as you say. And yet it is just a matter of time before all these positive changes come to fruition. And I'm just thrilled to walk this path with you of helping, you know, those seeds germinate and come to the fruition they have, because I know that, you know, it all just keeps getting better, even if it's, I won't live to see some of the amazing changes that I know will happen. I know that we'll have a world where people will look back and they will laugh at the fact that we could not accept that sex and gender were a spectrum. They'll laugh in the same way as they, you know, laugh at the fact that people thought that the earth was flat and had a hard time accepting it was round, right? Like they will realize, yeah, like, wow, that was so foolish. And oh my God, really? They used to operate on intersex people? How barbaric, how ridiculously ignorant and uncivilized it is to do that. And we will reach that day.
That day is coming. You know, and when Governor Jerry Brown signed SB 179 about a week and a half ago into law.
Thank you, Governor Brown.
Thank you, Governor Brown. It was only a year and 2.5 weeks after I went into court locally here in Santa Cruz, California, and challenged a judge, a finder of fact. That's what judges are. Finders of fact. I challenged him to acknowledge the fact of this. And from, in only a year, we went from educating the first judge to creating a statewide law. So change, when it happens, can really snowball very rapidly. That's what the last year has taught me.
I agree. It's kind of like, you know, when you said that, when you realized that there were these lies around sex and the veil was lifted. It's like once that veil lifts, it ushers in all the changes, because reality as we know it can never be seen in the same way again. You know, we can't continue the lies. And so everyone evolves and everything evolves. And I want to just say that For everyone listening, Intersex Awareness Day is not just about us. It's about helping all humanity to embrace diversity, which is always a good thing. If we can accept those of us who are different in a way that people have resisted admitting for centuries, then imagine the mass global acceptance of all people. Right? It reminds me of that saying, like, if what you do to the least of us, when the least of us are finally gaining acceptance, equality, and recognition, then that means that humanity itself is evolving to a more loving, accepting place. And that just benefits everyone.
That's very true. And even those who appear to be least likely to come around are coming around. When I was in Sacramento testifying before various Senate and Assembly committees, the party that would testify against me is a California religious organization meant to protect the family. And they would come in with a statement that said, this is all make-believe. It's all a bunch of nonsense. And I cornered their legislative director in the hallway last April outside of a Senate hearing room and said to him, with my voice cracking, do you understand how hurtful it is when you say to someone whose body was cut up to change it to fit into the myth, the societal myth of male or female, that they don't exist and that it's in their head? Do you realize how hurtful that is? And he apologized. And in starting the following month in May, when we were back before the various committees testifying, his organization altered its position to say, non-binary gender should be allowed for intersex people. So even that Christian family-centric organization came around to recognizing intersex. They still felt that, people who are identifying shouldn't be allowed to identify. So we disagree on that. But even they grew a little bit last year. People who really did not want to intake the reality of our message intook it.
Yeah, that's the beautiful change I'm talking about. And that conversation you had just helped turn around, a group that really needs to turn around. And so I think that's a beautiful, ending to this conversation and a beautiful way to say that, we are becoming aware. Society is waking up. And in big part, thanks to so many activists, I want to give a shout out to all the intersex activists and people that have helped lay the groundwork for this. Because as I said, it's never just one person. We all kind of inspire each other with the little bits that we do. It sets a spark off, and one person does one thing, and one person does another, and before you know it, we are experiencing a positive global change. And so, Sarah, thank you for the very, very important work that you've done to inspire this, to set off this change. And I don't know, do you have any last thoughts for Intersex Awareness Day? Any shout outs to anyone or anything you'd like to throw out there?
I would like to give a shout out to Dana Zim.
Yay!
Because, to be an activist in a progressive, accepting state like California is a lot easier than facing off against the federal government. And while we're having victories in the various states, Dana just keeps fighting the fight with the federal government. And I'm so in awe of Dana's strength and so happy to call Dana my friend. I want Dana to know that I support them and I thank them for fighting for our right to an accurate passport designation.
Yay! Thank you. I feel the same way. Thank you, Dana, and what a wonderful ending. Thank you, everyone, and please go out there and spread some awareness about the fact that sex is not binary and intersex people are everywhere among you. I'm sure that all of you listening know an intersex person, even if you don't know you do. And if you start talking about us and including us in your conversations, it will make it easier for that person to share the reality of who they are with you. So This is Hita Valoria signing off. Happy Intersex Awareness Day, everyone, and all genders are beautiful.
Happy Intersex Awareness Day.
Yay!